Hi, welcome back to the Perfume Nationalist. I'm drinking some McDonald's brand coffee, which I purchased at the store out of a Care Bears cup. And we have a very special guest here, Dust Breeder. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Thank you for coming on.
So this is an unusual episode because I think you're the first person that's ever come on that like actually knows me since way back. So yeah, you can really cancel me.
I just found out that I know you too.
Yeah.
I don't know. My mind is blown.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is an IRL podcast here. So.
Yeah, we all got our ears blown out at My Bloody Valentine years ago.
Dude, that was so heavy. It was difficult to enjoy that, to be honest with you, for me. Like, I don't know. It was just so loud, but I guess I just wasn't expecting it, but...
Yeah. I was just amazed at the transformation. So, like, when we walked in, it was like, it's a 90s band playing their songs. It's a 90s band getting back together. And then they would, like, they would, like, warn you with these little tickles. And then all of a sudden, they just, like, turned the dial to psychedelic land. And it became something entirely different, and everybody's phone went away. I've never witnessed anything like that.
Yeah, it was almost like just hearing artifacts of the music rather than the actual, like, instruments. It was like the way that, like, your ear being overwhelmed with sound actually, like, tries to process it. Like, that's what you're actually hearing when you see them live. So.
And they were controlling it. That's what I'm, like, they warned us. They, like, a couple of times. And then they just, like, in total control, turn the dial. I always thought that they were, like, a production trick, which the records are. But what you just described, like, they controlled it. That's what they sound like.
Yeah.
And I was not, like, a diehard MBV person before then.
You weren't?
No, I liked them, and I understood how people could be obsessed with them. Like, I knew that I was like, okay, I see how this is unusual, and I see how you could, like, get lost here. But... until I, like, made the connection between the production trick and the actual, like, in-the-flesh human practice, I didn't become, like, a devotee.
Well, that was one of the times that I've, like, felt something really positive for live music the most.
Like,
my tastes are just, like, really simple, I guess. If it's, like, really loud... and makes me feel something, sexy noise, then I guess that's, it's one of my fondest memories of live music.
I'll never forget the Blue Butthole song.
Yeah, that pulsating blue butthole backdrop that they had with the...
Oh, it's the one with, like, the flanger, like the...
Mm-hmm, that sounds like an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody had their phones out while they were, like, 90s band getting together, and the phones all went away. I was like, oh, God, this is going to be depressing. But, man.
I don't even remember the phones going away. I can't remember the last, like, show that I went to where it wasn't just constant phones, but...
Oh, they went away. Everybody stood there with their jaw open, like, ba-duh. And I felt like I had mowed the lawn with my entire body afterwards. Man,
yeah,
that was
I kind of
years
wish
ago.
That I had I not used the earplugs. Yeah, but speaking of the Blue Butthole, I wanted to commemorate the Tears and Rain existence of Chain Drive, the greatest establishment, gay establishment, the last great Austin gay establishment. On the pod, since it's basically nowhere, there's like very little internet trace of Chain